Lord, we again come before you this morning, and we thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, you give us to go out and reach others, Lord, for your glory and to share who you are, God, to everybody that we come in contact with. And Lord, whether it's across the street or across the nation or across the globe, it really doesn't matter. We're called to tell people about you, Lord. And so, God, continue to stir our hearts and enable us, God, to the things that would glorify you in sharing Jesus Christ, our Savior, to people and to a lost world. And so, God, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the folks that are here this morning, that, Lord, that we can have exchange and we can talk and we can just learn a little bit more together about what it means to involving our churches and in missions. So, God, bless this time. I pray for your grace, Lord, over this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, my name is Tom Hallman, and I pastor over at Calvary Chapel in Williamsburg, Virginia. And so, actually, I was really surprised to be asked this. We've been involved in missions ever since coming to Virginia 12 years ago. But I was like, wow, okay, cool. I get to share, and I'm really excited for that. And one of the things that started me in missions was the home church in California, which was a church that was very involved in missions. That's where we got saved. That's where we began our walk in Christ, was there in our church in California. And our pastor was a very involved missions guy. Not in the beginning, but as we grew in the church, he started doing small trips. And so that's kind of like our background. It's my wife Jean there, who's kind of been the one helping out things. You've got with you a handout which mirrors exactly the PowerPoint. So if you want to take notes and such, that's great. Or write a question down for later, that's cool as well, because we'll have time to do that. But it does mirror what this is. And some of the information that I did glean from also is from a couple of different websites. And I can cite those for you here as well. And let's see here. One was David Platt and Paul Aiken from a 2016 article on 5 ways to get your church involved in global missions. Another one was network.org, another 5 ways to get your church involved in missions. And since that's the basis of this particular workshop this morning, you're here because either you're involved in missions already and you'd like to kind of go a little bit deeper, possibly, or it's something that you've been thinking about, praying about in your churches. And you're like going, you know what, how do I begin this, or how do I start, or, you know, what's the first step to this? You know, honestly, the first step is really easy. It really is. It's just having a heart to get involved in your community. One of the things I put up there was local and international missions, because it does begin a lot of times within our own communities, maybe the neighborhoods around your church, such like that. And sometimes what that does is allow you to springboard into international or national type of missions, you know, within the United States. But, you know, one of the things I want to encourage you guys in as we first start off is that, you know, you don't have to wait for the perfect time to get involved in missions. The fact that you're here and the fact that God is stirring your heart in this is something that is just a remarkable thing, I think. Because we're all called, like what Pastor Troy said yesterday, it's like, wow, missions heart? Some churches don't have a missions mind, or what is that, you know? And it's hard for us, too, as far as myself, to understand. It's like, you know what, I may not be called to a particular missions field, but I sure have a heart to go and share Jesus. I sure have a heart to go and on a missions trip. I'm not called, for example, I went to India and to Nepal, and I'm not called there. But you know what? I'm going to go. If the opportunity is presented to me and everything works well, then, man, I want to go and share and be a part of that team that's going to wherever. And so it's just really just kind of getting excited about it and having a vision for it and saying, yeah, Lord, I'll go and I'll just test the waters in these different areas. And with that, you get a lot of experience as well. So you don't have to wait for the perfect time to get involved in missions at all. One of the things I want to also say to you is that, you know, the 7 billion people, it says here, in the world, and 2.8 billion have little or no access to the gospel. And again, this is from 2016 numbers, but it's really true. There's a lot more people you find out there that don't know about Jesus. And how many folks here have gone on missions trips, or your churches are currently kind of doing some missions trips? Okay, wow. So all of you guys, that is good. So you've already experienced how great it is and how fun it is and the joy you get, and then how excited you get when you come back to your home church, right? And you get to tell people about what's gone on and how the Lord used you and kind of how the Lord used the team as well. So you've already experienced that great spiritual high that we get when we come back. We're a little tired, but you know what? It's just a ton of fun, is it not? It's a lot of fun. But there's a lot of people out there still yet to be reached. Things that your church, regardless of size, location, situation, you can do to get involved in global missions. So it doesn't matter how large of a church you are, how small of a church you are, whether it's just yourself in the church who has that desire for missions. You can be a catalyst and just an ignition within your church to talk about other people, to talk to other people about missions. Because you might find out that, you know what, this person over here who you're talking to, all of a sudden they have a like-minded heart towards missions, and you may never have known that. You may come back from a missions trip and share before your church, and then they're going to approach you, and then they're going to go, wow, we're so excited you went. Tell me more about where you went, what you did. And a lot of folks like to find out the nuts and bolts of things because they themselves are also, their hearts are being stirred by the Lord to go and to join you. The goal today, again, help your people see God's heart for the world in His Word. And so with that, it's very, very important to, help those within our church. Maybe that's one of the things that you're thinking about. It's like, how do I get others within the church excited about missions? I'm excited about it, but how do I kind of infuse that into other people? Well, we'll kind of share a little bit about that today. Matthew 28:19, it does say, go then make disciples in all nations, giving them baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so that's a great commandment for us. In a sense, not to be sedimentary, right? Not to be settled. And so we're to go out and we're going to make disciples of people. And so that's very, very important to think about. The first point that you see in your handouts is teaching God's word to our people. I think that's first and foremost. Really, and it is, let them see that God's heart for missions. So if you let them see through, if you're a senior pastor here or a teaching pastor, or if you teach Bible studies or such, or maybe you lead a small group or something of that nature, you have a heart for it. Well, let them see through God's word what He says about reaching out to others. Maybe it doesn't say technically missions, local or international, but what it means is reaching out to others, reaching out to those in your neighborhood, your community, or around the world. So let them see what God's heart is for it, and we should always want what God's heart is for missions. Applying God's word, considering the spiritual and material needs around us. That's another thing that might spark your attention or your desire. It might do that in the sense of, well, there's people needing this or people needing that in different countries. We hear about third world countries needing so many things materially or financially in those aspects. Well, that might be the initial tug on your church's heart to go and be a part of something, maybe Samaritan's Purse or one of those organizations, or an organization within your community, or a Calvary Chapel type of organization that you're affiliated with that, hey, guess what? You can join them and send things to them as well. So understanding spiritual material needs around the world that, again, like we talked about in Matthew, let the Word of God shape and form our people to the world. It's really important as we understand God's heart for the lost. That's really what the message is. And for sharing things of God, Jesus Christ, lost world, let the Word of God begin to mold and shape those people's hearts within your church. If you're here today, so you've already got that. You're already excited about that. And so now the key or the goal is to say, well, how can I, through the Word of God, help those within our church be shaped and informed even more about what God's Word said towards reaching the world? The second point we have is committing ourselves to individual and corporate prayer and fasting. We do that at our church. It's a real blessing. Not everyone's, you know, tuned in to the fasting thing. It's very difficult for a lot of people, but we help them understand what fasting is all about. But also with that is prayer. Prayer is so important. Prayer isn't, and fasting isn't to be supplemental, but is to be fundamental. If you're here today and you're praying about maybe a missions type of ministry in your church, or you've already gone on missions trips, you're doing things of that nature, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's to be covered in prayer, right? All of these, before a trip is leading up, on the trip, when you're coming back from the trip, everything is to be bathed and covered in prayer. And a lot of it too, maybe based on the area you're going to go or thinking about going, fasting is very, very important for that as well. We see that as an example in Acts chapter 13 with Paul and Barnabas as they are laid hands upon them. So there's individual prayer. And so with that individual prayer, it turns the hearts towards God's heart. And so I find out that when we pray, as we all know, when we pray, we're now aligning our hearts with God's heart, right? I mean, that's really what we're doing. And so we're seeing more of the Lord's heart for mission. So prayer is a very important component. And again, it is fundamental, not supplemental to what we want to do. It turns our focus and attention to what's beyond our church. So what it does, it gives you vision. It gives you clarity of vision. It gives you a definition of, like, how am I going to do this? How is this going to work? How do I reach people within my own church? Your own church, in a sense, like our church, might be a mission field in and of itself of reaching others towards understanding more about missions. That might be a beginning little missions field for you, orienting them to missions and the idea of it and the heart for it. A lot of folks are tuned into missions in our church, and a lot of folks in our church don't have opportunity to go on a missions trip, but yet they want to be a part of things. So they might sponsor someone to go on a missions trip. We had that on our last trip to Trinidad, to where someone was sponsored to go. And this person said, you know, the Lord just laid it on my heart to provide, you know, $800 for someone who needs to go on this trip and can't afford it. We're like, whoa, that's amazing. So you see, that starts happening as well. And it starts really kind of getting contagious within the body at your church. So sometimes that's just about, you know, orienting your church, focusing the attentions on what's beyond our church, that beyond the walls of this building here, there is a whole amount of people, a bunch of people that don't know Jesus and they need to be reached. And the third thing that we see here is giving joyfully and sacrificially, providing ways and opportunities for missions offerings. You know, what we encourage people in our church, if they're thinking about missions, we say for them personally, hey, establish for yourself a missions savings account. Go to your bank and just open up a savings account. Call it your mission savings account. And if you can't go this year, start saving for next year's trip, right? And so put $10 a week in, put $50 a month in, whatever it is you can afford. Before you know it, you will see that God just adds to it. He really does. It's remarkable and it's miraculous. And then they're able to talk to other people about their desire to go on a missions trip. And then people just receive a heart to give unto that as well. Oh, really? How about, well, here's $50 towards your missionary savings account. The body of Christ is amazing. When they catch a vision, they really do. And so sometimes finances keep people from thinking, oh, can I ever go? Can I ever? Yes, you can. And that's the thing that we start talking to our people in the church about. They can do it. Some of it takes a little time of planning and preparation, right? So maybe that's a financial thing, or maybe sometimes a job thing. They're trying to, man, I only get 2 weeks off a year or whatever it is, and I'm trying to balance it. Well, you know what? Whatever the Lord calls for them to do. Sometimes they'll take that week and they'll go with. Sometimes we've had folks come with us on a portion of the trip. If they can only have so much time, we say, that's no problem. come with us on the front end of the trip or the back end of the trip, providing that there's airports and there's places that we can go and pick them up, and it's not a burden to where we're to the people of who we're being hosted by and whatnot. If it all works out great, then we're all for it. And so it gives them encouragement to know that they can at least do something. They can go and fulfill that desire as well. Mission days, we'll have mission days at our church. We'll have Wednesday nights. We have all of our offerings go towards missionaries in our church. So all the missionaries that we either pray for or that we're able to support on a every now and then basis, a few hundred dollars here, or maybe someone catches a vision and says, you know, I want to support this family in this country for a year or for 6 months, and then they automatically have their tithe or a portion or their offering go towards that missionary family. Things like that. It just stirs interest and it stirs excitement. Setting aside monthly, weekly times for special giving towards missions and for missionaries. Awareness, guys, is really the key thing. Awareness, communication, letting them know what's going on and what they can do. Also, have a lunch or baked goods, a fundraiser towards missions. Create awareness within your church. A Sunday after church, do something like that. Maybe have it a fundraiser for a missionary that, or a missionary family, or an area that you'd like to send funds to. Or maybe these funds are going to purchase items for an orphanage somewhere. I know one of my guys that pastors with us in Virginia Beach. We're in Williamsburg, but he's in Virginia Beach. They support an orphanage in Hungary. And so a few times a year, they'll have a bake sale or they'll do a fundraiser and they'll buy materials or they'll send those funds over to that orphanage in Hungary. That's a way of missions. And then people within their church remember that and they're tuned into it. And then the next time he goes to Hungary, the following year, they go, hey, I'd love to go. We've seen the pictures of the children. We've seen what we've done. We've been a part of it in the past. And you know what? And man, I want to go now. I want to go and be a part of that. So those things create interest. They're stimulus for things within your church. One thing is too is adopting a missionary. Whether or not your church has sent a missionary, you can provide care, support, and encouragement for a missionary. Maybe there's a fellow Calvary Chapel near you who has some missionaries, and maybe you don't. Maybe you'd like to adopt that missionary from your church and also provide additional support, encouragement, and prayer for that individual or that family on the missions field. Point one is communication. You can communicate with them as far as encouragement and such through emails, texts, Skype, Facebook. Church Snaps is an app that I use. FaceTime, Duo, WhatsApp. There's so many things out there available to us that from our electronic device, man, we can just talk to somebody wherever we're at. Yesterday in the morning before we started, I got a FaceTime from one of the missionaries that we've come alongside who's in Italy. And he just texted me. He says, hey, Tom, how's it going? And I'm like, it's going good. And what's on your mind? What's on your heart? Those kinds of things. And he was prepping for a Wednesday night study at the church there and the group that they've been ministering to. So the communication is so easy now. It's so easy and convenient with what we have in technology. You can send care packages, gifts, especially at the holiday times. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. The big thing about being in the missions field is, oh my goodness, they sometimes feel forgotten. Because a lot of the missionaries that we have are Americans who have gone into the missions field. And so they're Americans and they know about Christmas, they know about Thanksgiving, they know about all these holidays. And it's good that we can encourage them while they're on the missions field. Help with accommodating missionaries during furloughs and stateside visits or missions conferences, pastors and leaders conferences. When we go to the missions conference in Costa Mesa or in Murrieta, I've gone the last couple years. They have one at Merritt Island coming up in October. It's a great opportunity for you also to receive and to actually glean and just get excited about being around maybe 600, 800, 1,200 missionaries from all over the world. I love pastors' conferences. I really enjoy them. But let me tell you, being around 800, 900 missionaries, It just floats my boat. It really does. It's so exciting. And you know what? And to hear their struggles and what they're going through, oh man, then I don't have to worry about how great my PowerPoint is, right? When they're like, we don't, our electricity is so, you know, choppy. We're wondering if we're going to get water, you know, hot water coming through our shower in the morning, or transportation, or civil unrest that's maybe going on. So when you hear about what they deal with day in and day out, it's part of their daily life. You can go back to your churches as well and just, man, just have a whole different frame of mind. So you can, you know, visiting missionaries, they're coming, open up your home. If you got an extra room, man, they'd love to spend time. And then you get to find out more about them. You get to find out more about how they're ministering and where they're ministering at. Another thing is, oops, let's see here. Am I there? Okay, with Adopt a Missionary continued, have missionaries share at your church during visits. So if you know of missionaries, even if they're not a part of your church, maybe a neighboring church and such, have them come and bring testimonies. If there's a missionary in your church, when they come back, someone hosts them, have them come and do a sharing or a teaching. Let them share about what's going on. We just had one of the couple that's in Italy, his wife, Danae, just came and did a conference at one of the Calvaries in Fredericksburg, and then came to our church and did a night of worship for us because she's a worship leader, and she told us all about what was happening in this area of Italy and how we could pray for them. And then the body is able to connect. They connect. I mean, yeah, electronic media is great, but connecting face-to-face, seeing that missionary, talking to that missionary and such is so invaluable. So invite them to your church. We see your body, the body of the church gets to hear what God is doing, the work, the blessing, and the needs. Be involved in their work of the Lord, missions trip, coming together alongside them in their vision for their area. When we go on a missions trip, we don't do what we want to do. We do what they want us to do. When we bring a team, regardless of size, maybe it's two of us, maybe it's 12 of us or eight of us, we'll go and we're saying, what is it you haven't been doing that you'd like to do? Maybe they're in a place to where there's only a small group within their church or within their home group or whatever they're doing there. Maybe it's just a couple that's there that's called to that area. And say, what would you like? Well, I'd always want to do a VBS. Oh, wow, you know what? We're bringing 15 people. We will do a VBS with you. What do you need? What kind of materials do you need? Those kinds of things. And we come alongside them and do what they need and what they want us to do. We jump into the flow of them. And it's not like, well, we're here to do this. We're here to do that. No. Mistake. Bad. What we're called to do is to come alongside their vision and what they need. Sometimes it's not doing something like a VBS or building something or whatever it is. Sometimes it's just that spiritual booster shot to them, encouraging them. They haven't seen a person who speaks English in a long time. And maybe you're that encourager to them. I call it a spiritual booster shot. Man, it just encourages them in their time there. Life on the mission field can be challenging, exhausting, and hard. Be a spiritual booster shot for those in the missions field. Visit them as often as you can. We go probably 2, 3, sometimes 4 times a year on mission trips to various places and the places that God has called us to go. There's so much out there available, right? So much to do. Pray about a place, an area that God would like you to minister in or be a part of. Maybe because of that person that you've adopted or that person out of your church or a person that you know, hey, you know what? Maybe that's going to be the place. You never know. But we're in various places. We're in Trinidad. We're in Italy. We're also in Japan. And so those are the three main areas. And we have a missions trip coming up the end of July to Okinawa and to mainland Japan for 2 weeks. So we'll be ministering to the Calvary chapels there. And that was because of our pastor who went there and planted churches in Okinawa. And there was none. And now there's 12. You know, I mean, the work is amazing. Same with mainland Japan. And they just sent one of the young guys down to the southern part of the mainland of Japan. And so now we're going to be able to do ministry down there on this trip as well. And so just neat things like that that open up over the years as God guides. He really does, and he provides. So visit them often. Take as many people in the church. My joy is taking as many people as I can. let them go with me. Whether they're younger or older, it doesn't matter. We have a short-term missions application that we have them all fill out to get their background. Sometimes there's folks that are not of our church, maybe another Calvary Chapel or maybe another denomination, who see our website and they'd like to go along with us. We have them complete that application. We review it. We talk to them. We make sure that they're like-minded in the sense of what we're going to be doing, and then we bring them along to us. Then they come back. There, and I say continue the momentum. Continue the momentum with what you were doing on the missions field. Continue that and bring it into your home church and let the people just, let it be contagious for them. Come alongside other churches and join their missions trips. You can do that very easily. A church that you know and have a good relationship in your area, maybe it's another Calvary Chapel, maybe it's another type of church, but you're like, man, maybe you know the pastor or the leadership there. You guys are supporting 15 missionaries. Is that possible? Maybe we can adopt one. Maybe we can come alongside you in your next missions trip. That's not a problem to do as well. Those who will go come back changed. I already talked about that. They'll come back. Those who will go catch a vision for missions. A vision is caught and not taught, as Pastor Chuck used to say all the time. You throw it out there with them. If they catch it, great. It may take one or two trips, but God may do something miraculous on their hearts to cause them to continue going. Short-term mission trips may turn into a long-term missionaries. So true. We've had families in our church who have gone on missions trips, and then all of a sudden they're like, we're called to go to that place and stay. And so that happened to us in Trinidad. And it's happened a lot, I've seen, with Japan. And so, they just get a vision for it. And they're just like, man, I'm going to go back. And they may go back two or three times, and they're praying about it. And then they share it with you. And then we bring it before the congregation, and we're praying for them and praying for God's guiding and leading in their life. It's so exciting. I mean, the idea is to, man, get them out of the church. Have them go to a place, right? And start ministering where either alongside another work or where there are no other work going on in that region. So exciting. Let's see. When they return, they will be motivated for local missions in your community. So with that too, you can begin praying about local types of community outreach and such. With local missions, I don't want to leave that out, definitely. Neighborhood missions in your own hood is kind of what I call it at our church. Williamsburg does not have a hood, I'll tell you that much. Maybe a colonial hood, but that's long gone. But that's how I call it. You know, it's someplace in and around your location. For years, I've been praying about the houses that are beyond our fence line in around our church. And we've been there 12 years, and it's not until this year God is like, Tom, get off your seat and start ministering to your community. And it's like start ministering within your own community. Those people there should know who you are. They should know who you are. So beginning this year, we have done that. We're doing an outreach on the 13th as well. So we're excited for that as well. So anyway, be missionaries in neighborhoods closest to your church, door to door. Hey, don't be afraid of the schism that there is, or the thought with going door to door. We do that. We started doing that this year. We're going to continue doing that. And just offering prayer for people. That's all we're doing. Hey, hi, we're the church down the street. Can we pray for you? Is there any needs you have? 9 times out of 10, people will say, yeah, we love the fact that you can pray for us. And then you consistently go back. It's really, really cool. The other thing is, in local missions, outreach, set up prayer tables at your local movie theater, local college, university, join other churches with their outreach. VBS, take your VBS to the local park or multi-site neighborhood VBS. I like doing our church doing VBSs outside of our church parking lot. Our churches sometimes get so heavily fed, we need to take it out. Find a local church, a local park. Do your VBS there. We've had a few families that have come to the church as a result of their seeing us for a day or two and then coming and saying, yeah, can we be a part, our children be a part of it? They end up coming to the church as well. It's a great form of outreach. Community events, do a free car wash with food, local coffee house, music night, movie nights, indoor or outdoor, holiday outreach. We do a thing, which is that right there, taking it to the streets. We do that every Halloween. We figure we've got a captive audience. People are coming to us. So we don't do anything at church anymore. We say this, we provide families in our church with family packages. and we give them Calvary magazines, little wristbands for the kids, stickers for the kids, tracks, all of these things. And we encourage the folks in our church to set up tables in their driveway. And we say, hey, they're coming to you for candy. And I always tell them, get good candy. Don't jip them out. Get good candy. Let them come. And then we have a theme. We say, you guys pick up any theme. One was ours is Jesus is the light and Jesus makes you happy. So we set up a bunch of happy face balloons and people remember that. And then you light up your driveway area. Get an Easy Up or something. They're inexpensive. Get an Easy Up. Put Christmas lights on it. And they're like, what is this? You know, this is Halloween. Hey, there's light, and his name is Jesus. So they're coming to us. And so we put those up in the church, get people excited about it about a month before, and let them know what we're doing. Your church is equipped with gifts. People who want to use them, encourage them to use them. If they want to cook, plan a fundraiser, support missionaries, bake goods, we talked about that. Hosting a missionary from another nearby church or Calvary Chapel, always a lot of fun to find out what's going on in the country. Man, I tell you, if you were to host someone that was in the Ukraine or someone in Japan or wherever, and you get to sit with them and eat dinner with them, and you find out what's going on, and then you get excited as well from it. People with busy schedules, repeat yourself. People with busy schedules might not have heard your message, just like what was shared about this morning with Pastor Dave. New people come to church. You want to communicate the message of missions. Don't be afraid to ask people more than once to get involved. Try a few different times to check out people's thoughts. What do you think about missions? Maybe the Lord will put something on your heart about someone that you've noticed is interested about missions. Look at the big picture. Don't be shy about reminding people for the larger scope or vision the ministry is. It may not happen overnight. That's okay. I've gone on mission trips just by myself at times. No one's like given over into it for that particular time, fine, I'm going. But I come back and I'm still able to share about it and they're excited to hear about it. Help others see how they can play an important role in your church's vision for missions. Utilize folks within our churches to do that and then they can help you promote that area of vision for your ministries, for missions. Okay, this is kind of at the end. Things to think about. To promote, to enhance, to get the word out and communicate. It's so exciting because Calvary Chapel Magazine, here's the man right there. Calvary Chapel Magazine, Tom Price. If you don't get magazines as your church, hit him up, please, before you leave. Double your order because you know what? It's a great opportunity and it's a great medium that we use in our church and around our community. Leave them in dentist offices. Be kind of stealth and, you know, what I do. Be kind of stealth and put your name of your church with a sticker on the back like they encourage us to do. Go to the dentist office. I went to the dentist office just this last week, and I took 3 magazines with me. And it's like I bring them in. I'm looking at them, and I just leave them. And I go to my appointment, right? And it's like, and before you know it, you know, other folks will read them as well. They'll hear about the church. They'll read about missions and what God is doing. It's amazing. It's cool. Encourage people to take the CC magazine home and begin praying for the missionaries on the back of the magazine. Prayer requests and praise reports. Have them go start at the A's in country and for their families every night and just pray that missionary, that missionary, that missionary, that missionary. You get them a heart. Encourage your church to do that as well. Get a world map. We have a little world map here praying for the persecuted. You can get one. There's ones in the back there that are big. You can get a big map and post it somewhere if you have the room for it. And maybe there's missionaries or places that you're praying about. You can highlight it or put a pin there or something and get them excited as well. Sponsor a child from a third world country. Have your children's ministry or youth group sponsor a child. Start doing something like that. Beginning with the children in our church, having them do that. Have a Pray for Missionaries Day in your church, in your children's ministry or youth group. Let them become aware of that as well. Subscribe to a mission style magazine, Voice of the Martyrs, North American Missions Board, which is an online magazine. Anyone can do that. Another way is to begin reading biographies of missionaries. Right over here, guys, is books. You can take a look afterwards. We've kind of given you titles of them. But these are just examples that we've done in our church. And you guys will probably do amazing things, even greater and better. But these things were in our children's ministry here. As they were praying for these different places, Japan, some places in California, Japan, Trinidad, other places. And so, you know what? It's just a blessing to pray. It really is for them. And so you can do that. Begin with the little ones as well. movie night at your church. Sponsor a missionary movie for your congregation. Do something like that. Maybe even on your stage or someplace, have a little setup of what that country is. Have things from that. Maybe there's folks in your church that are from foreign countries. They'd like to share about things. That's also a neat thing too. Relationships. I want to miss that out because I'm like 4 minutes over time. Here, places like this, missions conferences, excellent places, guys, to go and talk to people. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Just ask them, hey, where are you from? What's it like there? I mean, they would love to share with you. Believe me, a missionary loves to share about where they're at on the missions field and what they're doing. So don't be afraid to do that. Be bold in doing that, and you will be blessed. And you'll say, oh, give me your email, or are you on Facebook, or whatever it might be, those kinds of things. And you can start direct connecting with them easily and start establishing relationship. Places like this, or places like missionary conferences. There's pastors all around here, and it's been said several times already, especially at the sharing at the first day, of how missions is a very important thing in our churches. So I take heed to that. Be a missionary for missions in your church. Daniel 10:1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a secret was unfolded to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, and the thing was true, and even a hard work, and he had knowledge of it, and the vision was clear to him. You know, doing missions in your church, it's not an easy thing. Maybe getting your folks primed for it is not an easy thing. It is hard work, but the truth of the matter is we're called to do it. You have the knowledge that God gives us and affords us through his word, and through experiences as well, and the vision should be clear to us. You don't have to, you know, dream big, but start small, okay? Dream big, think big, but start small, and that's okay. We did that. The church where I came from in California did the same thing. And we've had, from the outreach in our California church, oh my goodness, the young people have gone out, and they have just stayed in these places. And it's just been a real, real blessing. So I'm going to end with some pictures. This is some local outreach that we've done, VBSs and such. And people are driving by and they're seeing things, right? Kids are getting excited. Families are excited. This is some of our missions work in Japan. This is in Okinawa, up in Nago, in the northern part. More of some Japan there. There's always great food where you go, all right? It's like, it's a lot of fun and a lot of great relationships. And let's see, there's in the southern part in Fukuoka. We have a Bible college through the Japanese churches there in Okinawa, Japan. And this is Trinidad, and it's Pastor Francis and his wife. That lady in the corner that we're praying with there, she got saved. She's in a retirement home. You just never know the joy of these things. And it's such a blessing. And you can do so many things and do so many outreaches. It's just a blessing to do. Teaching some of the guys some different missions work. Interesting things you see when you're on the missions field. Interesting, fun things. And praying for people, being involved with other organizations there in those foreign countries. And just having some great fun. Bringing youth along with us is so much fun. All those guys were from our church with the youth group. And a picture up there of India, which was a blessing. And just getting them involved, getting the youth involved with the missions trip. Having them do things is so much fun. And just praying, always in prayer. And then I like to end with this picture because that's kind of the life of a missionary. You know, this is Todd. And you know what? He had been working all day, and he had just didn't care where he flaked out at. He was just like, I am done. And he was truly asleep. And, you know, serving the Lord, working for the Lord, sometimes is tiring, right? Whether it's here, especially on the missions field. When, you know, I tell the people that come with me on a missions trip, you're going to have two times to rest, the plane ride out and the plane ride back. That's your time to rest. Otherwise, we're up early and we're in bed late, and we're ministering. We're on mission. We're ministering. We're here to serve when they're on the missions field. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve them, cater to them, love them, support them, pray for them, and encourage them. That's what we're here to do on those trips. So that's the end of today's workshop. And if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them if I can.